الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Mr. Fidrus Farman, please complete the sustrate on the rows and fill in the gaps. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. برحمتك يا Thank you. Respected brothers, as inshallah, as previously we would have tafsir every Fridays in English delivered by Mufti Abu Bakr. Mufti Abu Bakr see that, he delivers tafsir in English. Every Friday we stopped at the last 10 surahs, inshallah. Mufti Sahib will be continuing his tafsir of Juz Amma, starting inshallah from Surah Humaza and continuing every Friday. So I request all the brothers to inshallah participate and stay for the tafsir, as this will be very beneficial. So inshallah every Friday from today we'll be having tafsir after Maghrib Salah. Jazakallah. If I can request the brothers to come close, inshallah, come forward. The tafsir will be taken, inshallah, in English. So brothers, please participate and come forward close to the members. Jazakallah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممدد. فقد رواه مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: أتدرون ما الغيبة؟ قالوا: الله ورسوله أعلم. قال: ذكرك أخاك بما يكره. قالوا وإن كان في أخي ما أقول. قال إن كان فيه ما تقول فقد اغتبته، وإن لم يكن فيه ما تقول فقد بهته. رواه مسلم. إن سورة الحمزة، سورة الحمزة is a Makki surah. It was revealed during the Meccan period of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. And it consists of 9 verses. In this chapter, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions 3 vices that was prominent amongst the disbelievers of Makkah al-Mukarrama. These 3 vices were Humaza, Lumaza, and Jam'ul Mal. So Humaza means backbiting and ghiba. Lumaza means fault finding and slandering. And the 3rd vice, Jam'ul Mal, means the hoarding of wealth. Now, from these 3 vices, 2 of them, the first 2, Humaza and Lumaza, are related to the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also known as Hukukul Ibad. In life, we have 2 types of rights. We have Hukukullah and we have Hukukul Ibad. Hukukullah, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, praying salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, giving our zakat, performing hajj, etc. And Hukukul Ibad are the rights that our fellow human beings have upon us. So for example, for an employer to pay his employee properly, on time, sufficiently. For example, a husband, it is the wife of the right upon him that he provides for her. He gives her a house, a place to live in, and he provides for her. And other rights that other people have upon us. Like, for example, our neighbors have rights over us, that we don't cause them any sort of difficulty, etc. So the first 2, Humaza and Lumaza, backbiting and slandering, fault finding, these are related to the rights of the people upon us. And the 3rd, Jam'ul Mal, hoarding of wealth, is generally speaking related to the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. From the 2, Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many scholars are of the opinion that the rights of the people upon us, we should take even more care in this regard. Because the reason for this is that, not to belittle the importance or not to trivialize the importance of the rights of Allah upon us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive the most vile of sins. Like, for example, on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is written, "Inna rahmati ghalabat ghadabi," that my mercy is dominant upon my anger. Whereas, we are humans, we know what we are like. When someone wrongs us, we will hate them for the rest of our lives. We will, you know, make them our enemies. We will never forgive them. No, he took my right from me. I'm never going to forgive you. I'm going to... I'll take it in front of Allah. This is the kind of people we are. We should not be like this. My Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy for mankind, and he always forgave people. He forgave people that harmed his own family. Look at the conquest of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was forgiving people left, right, and center. And this is how, these are the qualities of a mu'min, and this is how a mu'min should be. But many times, if we don't take care of the rights of the believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the rights of the human beings, then what guarantee do we have that this person will forgive me? Whereas, when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that if we stand up for tahajjud at night, and we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity, Allah will forgive. We have that guarantee. Allah has mentioned this in the Holy Quran. Whereas with other humans, we don't have such a guarantee. So it's the risk here is higher. We should be very, very careful when it comes to the rights of human beings. If sometimes we slip up, it happens, we are humans, we make mistakes, then we should go and make a point of asking them for forgiveness. If they forgive us, then very good, alhamdulillah. If they don't forgive us, then the fact of the matter is that their heart is in the hands of Allah. And so then we should turn to Allah and say, Ya Allah, you know I am sincere. Ya Allah, soften his heart and allow him to forgive me. And inshallah, through the barakah of this, Allah will soften the person's heart and he will forgive. Moving on, the hadith I read in the khutbah, Imam Muslim rahimahullah narrates on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an. He says that one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, that do you know what ghiba is? Do you know what backbiting is? So the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een said that Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. And at this point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ, remembering your brother in a way that he dislikes. So, a conversation is taking place in the absence of one person, and often the conversation will begin about something neutral or something positive, and then very soon shaitan will redirect that conversation into a negative one, and the buts start coming. You know, he's a good guy, he's very generous, but then the buts start, but you know, and then X, Y, and Z. And then we start talking bad and we start talking negative about somebody in their absence. This, and we know that if I said this in front of said person, then said person would be very upset and very displeased with me. But yet we continue to do this. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained that this is ghibah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. He says that do not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands that do not backbite about one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ, would any of you like it that you ate your dead brother's meat? Most definitely you would dislike it. How, it's an unimaginable thing. Your brother passes away, his body is here, and you start cutting and eating the meat. Allahu Akbar. We would never even imagine something like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this, he similarizes and he compares doing ghibah with eating your dead brother's meat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ghibah, like it or not, it's a very enjoyable sin. And this is why it is very common and we fall into it very easily. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that for some reason when we talk bad about somebody As a group in their absence, there is a certain pleasure in this. We have to take every step we can to avoid backbiting about people. Reminds me of once Shaykh al-Hadith, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat Sahib Hafidhahullah Ta'ala mentioned about his respected Ustad, Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Islam al-Haq Sahib, Nawarallahu Man Qadahu. He was the first teacher of Bukhari, the first Shaykh al-Hadith of the first Darul Uloom here in the UK, Darul Uloom Al-Arabiya Al-Islamiyya in Bury. And Hazrat mentions about Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Islam al-Haq Sahib rahimahullah that it was his habit that whenever a conversation was taking place and the mention of an absentee took place, Hazrat would, if he could, he would stand up and walk away. He would just stand up and walk away. And if it was not possible for him to stand up and walk away, because, for example, the gathering was taking place in his own house, then he would immediately change the conversation. He would shout to his sons, "Okay, bring the tea, bring the tea." And he would completely change the conversation and indirectly stop the person from talking about somebody else. And such a person, such an individual, he lived his life as a principled individual, according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what do we know about how this individual passed away? I cannot imagine a better death than this one. The great Shaykh passed away during the month of Ramadan. On the 27th night of Ramadan, at the time of Tahajjud, whilst praying Tahajjud in the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. Such a place, such a time, such an individual, I cannot imagine a better death than that. And his janazah salah took place after Fajr, and he was buried very close to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Baqi, a stone's throw away from where the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are buried. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his grave with blessings and light and mercy. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah give us such qualities as well. The second sin that we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, is lumaza. Lumaza is fault finding. Always, some people, they have this habit that they're always criticizing people. Whether it's behind their backs, then it comes into ghibah. And if it's in front of their face, then it's considered as fault finding. And whenever a conversation is taking place, they're always, "Oh, you're like this, he's like this, you're like this," and they're constantly criticizing people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this sin as well. The ulama compared the two, and they say that from the two, humaza and lumaza, humaza is worse. Because when you are backbiting about somebody, they are absent, and so they do not have the opportunity to defend themselves. That, "No, I'm not like that. I'm not a stingy person. I'm not an angry person. No, why are you saying that to me for?" And when you say it in front of them, they have the opportunity to defend themselves. Although this does not justify anything or make anything right. Many people, they are not of the personality to defend themselves. They stay quiet, but inside they are feeling hurt. And this goes against hukuk al-ibad, the rights of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our responsibility to ensure that we never ever cause anyone any sort of discomfort. Whether it's simply speaking too loudly at night, so somebody sleeping might get disturbed. or whether it's criticizing somebody on the face, or doing ghibah about somebody. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, that, do you know who the bankrupt one is? So the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een said, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then goes on to explain that the bankrupt person is the person who comes on the day of Qiyamah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a whole mountain of good deeds. And he has not only a few sins, and then a person comes forward and says, Ya Allah, this person, he caused me this discomfort. So Allah will say to him that, okay, take one of your good deeds and give it to him. Then another person will come forward and say, Ya Allah, this person, he abused my right, and he did this to me, and he did that to me. And slowly, slowly, one by one, more and more people will come, and they will take all of his good deeds. Until a time will come when he will have no good deeds left. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the person that, okay, you take your bad deeds and give it to this person. So by the time the hisab kitab is finished, the person who came with a whole mountain of good deeds, he ends up with a whole mountain of bad deeds, and he is taken into Jahannam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described this person as the bankrupt person. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is why it's extremely important for us to be very mindful of how we treat one another. We should always treat others with respect, with integrity, and favor them upon us. This was the qualities of the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een. They had the quality of ithar. They would always give preference to others over themselves. They were most generous and selfless people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us such qualities as well. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شِرَارُ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى الْمَشَّاءُونَ بِالنَّمَامَةِ الْمُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْأَحِبَّةِ. My Nabi alayhi salam said that the worst and the most vile creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that walk around slandering people. They go from place to place to place, and they find out things about people, and they spread it, that, oh, you know, this person, this is what he does, these are his bad deeds, this is what he does, what kind of person is that? Very closely connected to the situation of the wife of Abu Lahab that we mentioned in the tafsir of Tabbat Yada. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described these slanderers as the worst of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-mufarriquna bayna al-ahibba. They create rivalries and they create grudges and hate between two people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two people have a friendship. They love each other for the sake of Allah. Somebody becomes jealous, so they start spreading lies between them and they make them fight with each other. My Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has described these people as shiraru ibadillahi ta'ala. These are the worst and the most vile creatures and the most vile servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the third sin, hoarding wealth. Now, there might be a little bit of a misconception here, and it is important for us to iron this out. Having wealth, being rich, is not a sin. Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf, radiallahu ta'ala an, who was one of the greatest Sahabis, he was part of the Ashra-i Mubashara. So he had one of the highest statuses amongst the Sahaba. He was an extremely rich person. Once Sheikh Hanif Loharvi, Damat Barakatuhu, mentioned that if we were to count or consider the wealth of Hazrat Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an, in today's time, then we would have to take the top 20 richest people in the world and combine their wealth together, and it would still not be equal to the wealth of Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an. Wallahu alam, this was his research and his tahqiq. I'm just narrating and paraphrasing from Hazrat Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an, the third Khalifa of Islam from the four Khulafa'i Rashidun, such a high status. He was given the state title of Dhun Nurain at different times during his life. He had two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his nikah. His nickname was Al-Ghani, the rich one. He was also very rich. So being rich is not a bad thing. However, there are three conditions that I have thought about and written down. If a person fulfills these three conditions, then being rich is not a problem, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with such wealth and such richness that will be a means of us going to Jannatul Firdaus and not Jahannam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The first condition is that his income, his earnings are halal. He is not earning haram wealth. Number two, every year and at the appointed time, he fulfills his zakat and he pays his sadqah wajibah. So when the time comes for sadqatul fitr, when the time comes for to do qurbani, when the time comes to pay his zakat, he is ready, he pays. And number three, his greed for wealth, his want and his lust for wealth does not distract him from the truly important things, and that is the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, he is busy in business, he's having a business meeting, it's a meeting with a few billionaires, a few millionaires, and they are discussing multi-million, multi-billion pound contracts. But the moment this person sees the time for salah has come, he says, I'm sorry, I need to go and do my prayer, I will return. This is correct, this is good. He is giving preference to the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the dunya. When running a shop, the time comes for salah, we should put a notice on the door. Gone for salah. This is also in line with this. So the gathering of wealth should not distract him from the true purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this world. Another 2 points that the ulama have brought out here are that number one, backbiting, slandering, these two sins tend to happen when a person has pride within himself. And so he thinks he's very, very high and he thinks he's also perfect. And so that's why he's always criticizing people. Oh, look, if you thought low of yourself, you wouldn't have time to think about other people and point fingers at other people. And in terms of how these three sins are connected, they say that many times, often, pride comes due to having lots of wealth and being of a high social status, etc. And the second point that the ulama have brought out here is that it is the quality of a mu'min that he doesn't involve himself in other people's affairs constantly. As mu'mineen, we have more important things to deal with. We have the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to act upon. We have self-rectification to concentrate on. We don't have time to look at other people's faults. We have hukukullah to fulfill. We have hukukul ibad to fulfill. We should not have time to go around finding out about people's private affairs. No. We should be concentrating on ourselves. And the only worry we should have for others is the worry of that the sunnah comes into their life. And iman comes to the people. That's the worry we should have for other people. Not worrying about their bank balances and worrying about, you know, their private affairs. The quality of a mu'min is concentrates on himself. The only time he concentrates on others is for a good thing. Or he worries that, you know, somebody is going through some difficulty, I can help them in some way. Not so that I can humiliate them. Moving on to the translation of the surah, and inshallah we will wrap up in 1 or 2 minutes now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ. Wail means woe, which means this made distress. It's a form of curse and baddu'a. That distress be the person, or may woe be upon. لِكُلِّ, to every humazatil lumaza, every backbiter and fault finder. Alladhi jama'a amal, the one who hoarded wealth. Wa'addadahu, and he continuously counted it. So he gathers wealth all the time out of greed, and then he's counting it. For two reasons he counts his wealth all the time. Number one, he counts his wealth because of greed, and he enjoys counting his money all the time. And number two, out of stinginess, out of miserliness. He doesn't like spending money. You know, you get some individuals who are so much money, they are millionaires and billionaires. But when it comes to spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or spending on a family member, or taking care of someone that is in a difficult situation, they are very difficult. They'll lend money, but they keep pressurizing the person. Or they'll even go after the pennies. We mentioned things like this in previous surahs as well. So out of stinginess, they continues to count it. يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He assumes that his wealth will eternalize him. He thinks that his wealth will make him last forever. No. The fact of the matter is, and inshallah, I will conclude on this, and we will finish the surah next week, inshallah. But just yesterday, Hazrat Mufti Saleh Sahib was doing ta'aleem from the kitab of Hazrat Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, and he mentioned exactly this topic, that history testifies that wealth, no matter how much, will not make us last forever. Death will come. Death has taken so many. Death has taken every king of the past. Death has taken every pauper of the past. Death has taken every millionaire and every billionaire and every rich man of the past. We have examples in our time where people, they have taken many steps to try and extend the length of their life. They say about a very famous musician. I don't think it's appropriate to take his name. We are sat in the masjid. But this very famous musician this singer, everyone, the whole world knows his name. He had lots of plastic surgery done on him. He had loads of work done on his body. He used to travel and he used to live with many doctors and specialists, and they used to carry around blood with him as well in case something was to happen to him. Everything was put in place. If anything was to happen, they could save his life. But he died. Just like everybody else dies. I'm going to die. You're going to die. We're all going to die. History testifies to this. They see about Alexander the Great, that when he was dying, he made three wishes on his deathbed. He said that when my coffin is being taken, make all the doctors line up on the streets. I want to send a message that all the doctors in the world can be here at my here for me, but none of them could save me from death. He said, make the physicians, all the specialists, make them carry my coffin. And the third wish he said was that when the people are watching my coffin go by, take my hands out of the coffin. I want to show them that today, Sikandar Azam is going from this world empty-handed. He was one of the greatest conquerors that history has ever seen. But death does not discriminate. Death will take every single one of us. And just to finish now, age, death does not discriminate with age. Just we had incident earlier this week, two 16-year-old, 18-year-old, they were in Jama'at in Al-Madad, Pringle Street Masjid on the weekend. Last weekend they were in Jama'at. They did Fajr Bayan on Saturday, Sunday, and they were doing Ta'aleem. And then they went back to Preston Monday, Tuesday, after Maghrib, one of them did Ta'aleem at the back. And then they prayed Isha with Jama'at. They left the masjid, they went in the car crashed. 16-year-old passed away. 18-year-old passed away. The janazah was today in Preston at 3 o'clock. 16-year-old. Death does not discriminate. One of them survived. His time had not been written. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ السَّاعَةَ وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. When the written time comes, it does not delay and it does not come early. Not by a second, not by a moment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability and the tawfiq to live our lives according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us with khatama bil khair and a death with iman in our hearts and the kalima on our lips. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد.